This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you want the best, you have to act fast, especially when hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds top talent fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Spotify. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the BBC Music Magazine podcast. You can subscribe to the magazine by visiting classical-music.com or to our interactive iPad edition by visiting itunes.com. BBC Music Magazine is now an official Apple Music curator, and you can listen to our exclusive playlists by visiting applemusic.com/BBCMM.
Hello, and welcome to our monthly cover CD podcast, in which we take a brief look at the works on the disc that accompanies the latest issue of BBC Music Magazine. I am Jeremy Pound, the magazine's deputy editor, and with me is our editorial assistant, Eleanor Cooper.
Hello.
This month, our June issue cover CD features 2 symphonies by Felix Mendelssohn, as we also celebrate the great German composer on the cover of the magazine itself. Those 2 symphonies are his first, in which the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra is conducted by Otto Torsk, and his 4th, the Italian, where again we hear the BBC Scottish Symphony, but this time conducted by Matthias Pincher. Let's begin by hearing the famous, and famously uplifting, beginning to the 4th, shall we? Was the opening of Mendelssohn's Italian 4th Symphony, played by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra under Matthias Pincher. As with the same composer's Scottish 3rd Symphony and, of course, his Hebrides Overture, the Italian Symphony was inspired by Mendelssohn's love of travelling, wasn't it, Eleanor?
Indeed it was. Mendelssohn went to Italy in October 1830, and the trip lasted 10 months. He started in Venice and worked his way south to Rome, visiting Bologna and Florence on the way. As well as his musical talents, Mendelssohn was also a decent amateur artist. He recorded his impressions of the Italian trip in a series of watercolours and sketches, which he later used to help him compose the symphony.
Importantly, though, Mendelssohn isn't trying anything programmatic in the Italian symphony, is he? In other words, he's taking fairly generic Italian themes and moods for each movement, rather than trying to musically describe specific places and events, isn't he?
Precisely. The symphony isn't particularly Italian until the last movement, in fact, which is based on a Neapolitan dance called a saltarello. The other three movements give more of a general feeling of Italy, Mediterranean sunshine, religious solemnity, and the Italian countryside.
Lovely. Well, let's then hear the last of those movements. Here's a moment from the closing saltarello, which is interestingly in the minor key. This is not, though, a case of Mendelssohn taking us from the sunny major opening to a dark and foreboding minor finish in the sort of reverse of Beethoven's Fifth. Minor key it may be, but this is anything but gloomy. And that was the finale of Mendelssohn's Italian Fourth Symphony, a work he completed in 1833 at the grand old age of 24. Next, we move on to his First Symphony, a piece he composed at an age when most of us were doing school exams, wearing daft haircuts, and failing to get served in the pub. Here's the opening Allegro Molto. There you have the work of the 15-year-old Felix Mendelssohn. That was the first movement of his First Symphony, played by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra under Otto Tausk. The performance you'll hear on the cover CD of the June issue of BBC Music Magazine. While 15 may seem like a nauseatingly young age to produce work of such quality, Mendelssohn already, in fact, had a couple of impressive works already in his portfolio, and, in fact, a couple of absolute masterpieces lurking just around the corner, didn't he?
He did. By the age of 15, Mendelssohn had already written 12 string symphonies, the first of which was written when he was just 12. When he was 16, he wrote his octet in E-flat major, now considered one of the masterpieces of the 19th century, as a gift for his violin teacher, Eduard Ritz. And the following year, he wrote the Midsummer Night's Dream Overture, aged just 17.
But for all that he was a famously early starter, though, our feature in the June issue actually looks at how there was more to him than that, namely that he continued his greatness throughout his life. As Eric Levy discusses in the piece, Schumann once described Mendelssohn as the Mozart of the 19th century. And yet he's not quite stood the test of time in the same way. Some of this is down to nearly a century's worth of prejudice and discrimination that followed his death in 1847. But there's also that lingering perception of Mendelssohn being somehow sort of fluffy and lightweight. That perception is way off the mark, isn't it?
Definitely. His huge output and his highly original and individual style rightly earn him a place among the greats. If you think of the impact works like his violin concerto, for instance, have had on subsequent composers, it'd be madness to relegate him to second rate. As Eric Levy discusses in the magazine, he wasn't a revolutionary in the same way as Beethoven or Wagner were, but his music is still some of the most exquisite written in the 19th century.
And hear, hear to that. Well, let's round off our podcast with another example of Mendelssohn's genius. Here is the very end of the Allegro con fuoco final movement of the First Symphony. In the meantime, until next month, is goodbye from Eleanor.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Music Magazine podcast, which was produced in our Bristol studio by Jack Fletcher. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at classical-music.com or simply head to iTunes.